الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. مالي خليل يا غاري يا ريشا تمارا ساتي سيفاه. We forgot to speak about the roza of the ears, which are normally we speak after the roza of the tongue or the eyes. However, there is detail, of course, but we'll just try and make it as short as possible. Whatever is haram to speak is haram to hear also. So if it is haram to make ghibat, backbiting, to hear backbiting is also haram. And we should keep that in mind. Just being an accomplice that we were sitting, that is enough to prove us to be guilty of the act also. And a person does get caught up sometimes in such, among such people, that it's difficult for you to get up and go away from there. Or to stop them it is difficult, then a person should try and get up and go away. If that also is difficult, at least in your heart feel it and realize that this is completely wrong what is happening. This is what they are talking, backbiting. If with maybe such seniors, such people, and you are a junior, a minor, and you haven't got the courage to speak up, so in that case, then feel bad about it. Make tawbah istighfar. Make dua in your heart that Ya Allah, change this, the direction of the cause of this discussion. And if you have the courage, which we should have, al-mu'minul qawi khayru min al-mu'mini al-za'if. A strong mu'min is much more better than a weaker mu'min. As far as iman is concerned, we shouldn't be weak. We should be able to say, or at least get up and excuse ourselves. Also, with regard to hearing, there are a few other things also. Also, I will just mention this point. What is haram to see? Haram to see is haram to touch also. Like, for example, a person has got a sore on his thigh, or just above his knee, which is part of the sitter. Now, for him to ask somebody else who is not his mihram, not his wife, somebody that is not allowed to see it, your grown-up daughter also is not allowed to see it, your grown-up son, for them to touch it also is not permissible. So, though it is, they're not looking, from under a cloth they are rubbing it, the sore, etc., but that is also not permissible. So what is haram to see is haram to touch also. And what is haram to touch is haram to see also. Like, for example, somebody's sitter is haram to touch. It is haram to see the sitter also. So what hearing also, what is haram to speak is haram to hear. What is haram to hear is haram to speak also. Lies, etc. And with regard to this, one common trauma we find ourselves in nowadays is also again unfortunately with the cell phone. The ringtone that is on the cell phone, and very, very commonly it's a musical tone. Many people, good people, have got this musical tone on their cell phone. Now, to listen to that music, that is also haram. Though it is just while it's ringing, but it is haram. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, this little bit listening leads to more and more. And Hazrat, in his wonderful way of making tarbiyat, used to say, like a fly comes to the table from the dastarkhan and takes something and goes away. Little bit. Soon it will take so much that it can open a hotel also, a restaurant. And soon it will take so much that it can open a motel also. So this music also, the little bit listening of it is also extremely dangerous. Though a person thinks it's just the ringtone, but it is also extremely dangerous. It is mentioned that al-ghina ruqiyatu zina, that music is the stepping stone to adultery, because it causes such, it stirs the emotions in such a way that then a person gets inclined towards zina, towards adultery. And also, this is such a guna that the person who has got it and is oblivious, unmindful of it, doesn't worry about it, he is involved in guna also, and who around whom he is standing and they listening, they also get involved in guna. And we are the cause of that person's guna. That person doesn't want to listen, or it may be even a person who doesn't mind also. He's not conscious of it that it is haram. But you, now that you are, your phone is ringing, it's in your choice to have that ringtone. The person next to you is listening, his guna is also on you. And that person, if we can also, where we can tell somebody that please change your ringtone, whatever it might be, it is haram to listen to this, we should do that. Because of this attitude of ours of not talking, gunas are increasing all the time. And many people say also that if I was wrong, he should have told me so and so. If I was wrong doing the wrong thing, he should have told me. He never told me. So that means it's not wrong. And many of us have got ulama friends. We've got a very good relationship. And we can tell as an alim, we can tell our friend that this is not right. Your trouser is below your ankles. Your beard is not right. But we don't say. And then we also feel that my friendship is for 15 years, 20 years. Maulana never told me anything. So that means it's not wrong. So that's a dangerous thing also. Or not only a Maulana, if we are in Jamaat, we are Jamaat brother, we are in the Khanqa, we are like a pious person, and we have got friends, and we never tell them anything wrong what they are doing, then they also feel this person always goes in Jamaat, he goes to the Khanqa, he goes to so and so Sheikh, and he never told me. So that is also it can have a very, very rippling effect, and we will be guilty of it. Also, this ringtone, how serious it can be. One of our ustads, some years ago, went for Umrah, and in Madinatul Munawwara, it was most probably a sirri namaz, silent namaz, asr or zuhr, and a person with a ringtone was standing just near the imam. And we know those mics, how powerful they are, the imam's mics, the voice system, they've got very good system. So his phone rang in namaz. And the imam's imam's mic picked up that sound. And from the imam's mic in the month of Ramadan, in Masjid al-Nabawi, music was playing. And those mics are outside the masjid also. So around the masjid also, around the Rauza-e Mubarak, in the whole masjid, music was playing from the imam's mic. And thus also we should think that we are fast asleep with regard to the matters of our deen, the dangers that are lurking around us as far as deeni matters are concerned, and the enemy is very awake. The enemy has put their music, used us as the agents, and they have brought music right into Masjid al-Nabawi, right into the Mataf also. Where people are making tawaf, baytullah, and what great spiritual things are happening all the time at these masjids, Masjid al-Nabawi and Masjid al-Haram in Makkah Sharif, and there they send us there with our musical instruments. So we should be very careful of this. And also other things that we can fall into the guna of the ear, eavesdropping, where it is not permissible. That also, where we are not allowed to eavesdrop. If your job is that, you apprehend somebody is going to cause somebody harm or something, then where it is permissible, we should find the details out. But many of us, we have got this suspicion in us. And again, the very sad part, this happens right in the house also, where the husband is suspicious of his wife, wife is suspicious of the husband. If you have got cause, find out the details when it is permissible. But just to be suspicious, and then we are using we are eavesdropping, or we are going into the messages of one another, etc., where it is not permitted, then that is also a haram. where it is, where we do feel that something is going wrong here, and we have to be on our guard, but find out, there is details in that, find out from the muftis when that is permissible or when it is not. But to listen to somebody else talking, etc., they are talking privately, we shouldn't listen in. Some people have got the habit that some two people are talking, somebody is discussing with the sheikh a certain matter. And the sheikh, and that makes it clear that this person, and you are keeping your distance while walking. But some people actually come forward to listen to what is being spoken. That person has got his own private matter which he wants to discuss, which he doesn't like others must know about. So it is not permissible. These are all gunas of the ears, which we must be careful about. And the way, whatever, also with this music, there are some friends of us who have reported that when they were young, they used to listen a lot to music, they made tawbah, they came out of it. But they say that one ring tone of that person, which was a musical tone, and that stirred and brought my thoughts back of the past again. And I went relapsed again, and I just got an urge to listen to all that music again. We are the cause of it. Where we are the cause of one person going right, what great rewards there are. And where we become the cause of one person going in the wrong direction, how terrible and severe that is not. So we have to be very careful. And also, as far as what I found out, every musical tone can be changed into for another tone. Some of the brothers say that this phone comes only with this tone. But you can download other tones, and how many tones? Waterfalls, or for example, a bird singing, or a bird, baby crying, or anything, but it mustn't be anything about music that we should avoid. And the others of us go to the other extreme again, that we keep Surah Fatiha, for example, as a music, as a ringtone. Or we keep some nasheed, some nizam, in which there is Allah's name, Jalla Jalaluhu, or the name of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or others. Now, sometimes the phone rings while we're in the toilet, and now Surah Fatiha is playing in the toilet. That is also so terrible. So though we might think we are doing something very good and we are being pious, but that is also very, very harmful when it rings at such times. So we have to be very careful of this. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to keep rozas. And again, yeah, especially while we are in i'tikaf, roza of the ear will mean hopefully none of us are listening to anything haram here. But if there is the ringtone, then we are ourselves in the masjid, and we are getting others involved also. And we know that when the phone rings, the sound goes still quite far. Lot of people can hear. And if it's a musical tone, then how many people are not listening to it? So we have to be very, very careful about that. So we should try and change that musical tone. Just bring it to an ordinary ringtone. Don't have any Surah Fatiha or any verses of the Quran Sharif, etc. Nor on the other side, any musical tone or anything like that. Also, one point that I wanted to bring to our attention, if there are many brothers, mashallah, that after the majlis is over, now after Asr majlis it's time for dua, but like after Zohar majlis, or after Isha majlis, or even after Fajr majlis, which is a common habit of our with us, that we like to mull around. Two, three people just standing around, sitting around, and we are just talking. This, we might be talking softly, but two, three people, then this becomes quite a noise. We should try and avoid. And it shows also a sort of a don't care attitude. And we should be conscious also all the time that this is the house of Allah, the masjid. And it is narrated that when a person talks of dunya's matters, and then the malaika taika tell that person, uskut ya waliya Allah. Oh, wali of Allah, friend of Allah, keep quiet. This is the masjid. Where are you talking of this dunya's things? Or you raising your voice and talking? But when a person still carries on, then they say, uskut ya baghiz Allah. Oh, keep quiet, oh enemy of Allah Ta'ala. And a person still carries on, Then they say, uskut ya la'natullah alayk, that you whose Allah's curses are upon you. So this talking in the masjid also, we should try and be very careful about it. Especially those brothers who have come for i'tikaf, we are coming to do a neki, but yeah, we get caught up. And many times also it happens, you yourself don't want to talk. But another person comes now, it's rude to refuse the person also, just a little bit. But then try and make it clear that if we want to, we'll talk outside, if the person is not in i'tikaf, or we'll talk at a later time. But try, and also, mashallah, like today after Zuhr particularly, I noticed there were a few brothers who immediately after the masjid took their Quran Sharif and started reading. And mashallah, most of us are considerate. If somebody is reading, we don't then go and stop him and start a discussion unless it is something important. So, and there are many, many brothers, mashallah, who have got this concern, and they are of their own spiritual welfare life, that they busy themselves, take out a tasbih and start reading. Take out a Quran Sharif and start reading. And otherwise, go and sleep for a while, go and rest for a while. But just talking and just mulling around, this is not at all right for a person to do. And this shows a person who hasn't got the value of time also. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to stay away from all these wrong things. Also, one brother brought it to my attention, and before we go on to that, we read last night in the kitab that on Laylatul Qadr, whichever night it is, then the malaika goes and will meet every, they go to every Muslim home. They meet every Muslim, whether he's in a jungle, whether he's on a ship, wherever it may be. But only three exclusions. One is where a photo has been hung up, displayed. So try and take that precaution. That many of our homes are becoming prone to this now. That we are having pictures of the children, grandchildren, etc. We hang them up. Many people have got it in their offices also. So then the malaika don't enter such places. And on a night like this, especially. And then just see, these are all three severe things which hopefully by and large the whole ummah is saved from it. That a person who is in a state of napaki, in a state of impurity, he needed a faras ghusl, and that is from adultery. Now, on a night like this, who will go and commit adultery? And on top of it, it won't happen. But if it has to happen, the person will be so guilty that he'll go and take a bath. So how far away mustn't be a person that he misses the mercy of Allah Ta'ala on this night. How easy Allah has made it. And the third is, there mustn't be a dog in the house. Which also by and large, Muslim homes are free from dogs. If they are keeping, usually on the farms where people are living, etc. It is for security and it is kept outside. A dog as a pet is hardly kept in a Muslim home. There may be, but very, very few. So these three things only, and every Muslim will get the barakat of Laylatul Qadr. And the thing that is becoming a bit common is the photos which are being displayed. As far as the photos being on the cell phone, if it's off, ask Mufti Sahib, he will give you the masala. And if we have got, as our bedrooms are concerned, try not to have photos. Or they must be covered up, like the ID book, passport, etc., ID card, all these things which have got photos, try and put it in the cupboard. It must be covered, it must not be displayed. And then, today also, adverts come to every house in your letterbox, adverts are there. And many times there are pictures of human beings, of animals also, and we pick it up, we bring it in the house, try and avoid it from the bedroom. If we have to bring that, we find there's tabloids also, different, so many tabloids, and they go and give it at every house. And a person takes it in the house, try and keep all these things away from the bedroom, and as far as possible, from the whole house. If we just have to look, it's just if you have to glance through, look at it, do that, but then try and put it outside the house. whether it's the garage or wherever else, the laundry or whatever, we've got a separate thing, try and put it there. May Allah Ta'ala save us from all these things. And may Allah Ta'ala, tonight is the 27th night, one of the odd nights, and many, many ulama of the view that Laylatul Qadr every year comes on the 27th. And then again, it happens to be what we call the Saturday night, Yawmul Ahad night, which is tomorrow is a free day for almost everyone. So it's a night that we can easily devote to more ibadah. How much more we can do? But always, let us try and daf'i mazarrat, the wrong, the harms, gunas, try and stop them before jalbe manfaat, before the sawabs that we take, whatever wrongs we might be involved in, make sure that we that the wrongs are being removed. For example, if we are carrying some photos with us, and if a person even makes this niyat on this night, or at any time now while we are listening to it, I've got a photo album, perhaps no more the normal photo albums. Now it might be on the phone or the whole photo album. But if a person makes niyat, I'm going to delete it. And he deletes it. And on a night like this also, what great sawabs he will get. If we have got other wrong things on our phone, and we make the niyat now that I'm going to delete it, and my first occasion I get, whether it is before Maghrib, after Isha, I'll delete all these wrong things from my phone. This will be a very great ibadah this person will be engaging himself in. So inshallah, whatever wrong things that we got, wrong people's numbers that we are not supposed to have on our phone, make a firm intention to delete all those numbers on this night also. This will be also a very great ibadah. Wrong messages that we have got, and which we perhaps are taking some relief and enjoyment, to delete all those messages also. This will be also a very great ibadah. Then one brother brought it to my notice, and this is, we'll carry on from there with our talk with regard to eating our food, etc. He said that the dasturkhan that is laid out, and this is also more out of ignorance. Not only that we are not conscious, but we are not aware of it. We are ignorant. We just walk over the dasturkhan. And on the same dasturkhan we eat also, and we walk also like that on the dasturkhan. This is not correct at all. I'll give you a few examples to say by which we can understand this, inshallah. Once we were at Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's Khanqa, his masjid in Durban, and Hazrat was eating, he finished his meals, our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and the dasturkhan was green, and the carpet was also green. And besides that, I myself was not aware also, Allah reward our Shaykh who has taught us so many how to live the basic things of life. And what we learned, we try and revise and always make muzakra with our friends. It can be beneficial to others also. So after Hazrat had eaten, I went forward to let Hazrat wash his hands. So with the little bowl and a jug of water, and I put my leg without thinking on the dasturkhan. And really, literally, like Hazrat got like a ha, he went across, he says, immediately, and this was also one great speciality of Hazrat, he said, jis par pair nahi rakh sakte, jis par peer nahi baith sakta hai, us par pair kaise rakh sakte hai. Where even your peer cannot sit on, how can you put your leg on there? Hazrat was very, very good at this. Just a little bit, digress a little. Once Hazrat was in Dubai, and a close associate of Hazrat has a big business of almonds, badam. So he took Hazrat to go and see this his whole storeroom, whole big storeroom filled with almonds, lot of almonds. And Mir Sahib, Hazrat's Khadim, was also with, and Mir Sahib never got married his whole life. He devoted about 45 years of his life to the service and khidmat of his Shaykh, and he never got married in the love of his Shaykh, and just being in the khidmat and service of his Shaykh. So, on this occasion when Hazrat went there, so he says, agar pura Godam mile, a whole storeroom. Badam ka, with badam. Or bedam, and you get it free. Lekin jiske paas madam na ho. But a person who hasn't got a madam, who hasn't got a wife, wo na khai. Told Mir Sahib, ke agar pura godam mile, badam ka, bedam. Lekin jiske paas madam na ho, wo na khai. So mashallah, what Allah Ta'ala has blessed our buzurg in all matters. So anyway, yeah, Hadrat said, jis par peer nahi baith sakta hai, us par pair kaise rakh sakte hai. Then Hazrat explained, and then how beautifully that a person can commit the most serious crime, but Hazrat will take you in such a way and win you over that your heart just melts for it. So Hazrat explained that the dastarkhan is the Shahi dastarkhan. It is the king's dastarkhan. King Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That Allah, His namaz come on that dastarkhan. To understand that, one time, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi was eating, and one grain, whether it was rice, or whether it was some dar, or whatever, it rolled away. It happens sometimes. So Hazrat looked for it for himself. He couldn't find it. Some children of the neighborhood were playing, they go into the neighbor's houses. He asked them to help him to look for it. After quite some time and difficulty, they found it. Hazrat cleaned it. And then he ate it. And then he went to the Khanka and he mentioned this incident happened. And he said, do you know why I took so much trouble? Because Allah's innumerable, billions and billions of Allah's creation has worked in order to make that one grain. If we just have to think, like for example, a grain of rice, that the sun, the rays of the sun fell on it. The rays of the moon and stars also fell. All these things work on it. And then the wind also blew. Rains also came down. And then that ground was ploughed. You needed a plough for it. In our times, the tractors the farmers used, the ploughing equipment, that was made, one part was made in Germany, one part was made in Japan, one part was made in China. It was all put together in England. And then it was transported by a ship. And that ship was made again in France, for example. And for that ship, the people that worked from around the world, parts came, the whole world was working in order to get you that 1 kilo of rice. We look at it as a kilo, but a kilo is only made with one grain. With a one grain, you make a kilo, you make 10 kilos, you make 200 kilos, a bag of rice, whatever. But one grain makes it up. So what and how many people and whoever worked on any one part of that ship. And then today you need all the computers, all the paperwork has to be done before it is loaded onto the ship. When it gets loaded off the ship again, all the paperwork has to be in order. And for transporting it, you need trucks again. And to take off the goods from the trucks, today seldom it is done physically. Machines do it. For those machines again, how many people worked again? We needed the roads, the roads which are normally tar roads. How many people worked in order to make the roads? Those roads needed some markings, and the marking, the paint of it. How many people worked it? Your mind cannot work to make one grain. So this dastarkhan that is laid out is to put the shahi namats of Allah Ta'ala. So when that is the case, then we can well imagine that our feet on there, that is not at all proper. Hazrat also was so particular. Once we were in Malawi with Hazrat, and they came, they announced that food is ready. All must come and sit down and eat. So Hazrat also came. But again, ignorance, because we don't associate with ulama, with people who practice the sunnah, so we don't see the sunnah. For us, it is just table and chair. We just sit at the chair, at the table, and we eat. Unfortunately, that is still very, very common with us. Even when we go in Jamaat, we sit on the floor. Yeah, in the Khanka, we sit down, unless a person can't manage. And at that point also, Haji Ahmed Nakhoda Sahib, Damat Barakatum, he's over 80 now. He cannot sit down. He has got problems with his legs, etc. But he doesn't sit at a normal table and chair. He says that is copying the non-Muslims. And he's got such a feeling. He says, Nasara ka tariqa. How can we follow Nasara tariqa? How can we follow Yahudi tariqa? He sits on a chair, but then his table will be sort of a desk like this here. Or something else. He'll try and still differentiate, not to sit like a normal, we just sit at the table and chair. So how particular are these people? Where though they are helpless, but they still don't want to follow. And how many of us, those who do observe sitting on the front of the floor and eating, but normally even them, breakfast is still at the breakfast nook, table and chair. And one time, to sit like this, and if somebody offers me, now it's Rosa, it's out of the question, but offers me a cup of tea, a glass of juice, sitting on top and drinking, it's permissible like this. So Hazrat mentioned this, Mir Saab, who was sitting right next to Hazrat, so the occasion and the words, that sitting like this on top and eating is permissible like this, but then this is now recorded on a CD, whatever it is going, and those people are not seeing. So it appears like, for example, a person giving a bayan is sitting on a chair and he wants to drink water. Many people, I also have to drink quite a bit of water. So you are sitting on a chair and you are drinking water. This is relayed over there. Now it appears that this person may be sitting at a table and he's sitting on a chair. So Mir Saab immediately said, meals at a table, sitting on a chair is not permissible. The people will get the wrong impression where the bayan is taking place and how it's being said. And other people who are not present there, they will get the impression that Hazrat is saying, yes, it is permissible. Many fatwas people ask also. For example, is a common, a woman asks a masala that for Lady Salim to help out the elderly, the poor, is it permissible for me to drive? So the Mufti Sahib gives permission perhaps just in your area, just in your residential area, just there. But where we go always 10 kilometers ahead, 10 steps ahead. Now they will go from here to Pretoria also. They will travel from here to far off places also. Now they will travel, beginning eventually traveling at night also. Eventually traveling on their own also. And anyone asks, I got Mufti Saab's fatwa. So therefore, it's very important that these things must be. We must not misuse these things. So there in Malawi, when we went to the place, how they had put sheets down, white sheets, and on the same sheets were the plates also, and the platters of food also, and you had to sit also on the same sheet. So Hazrat asked, where is the dasturkhan? There is no dasturkhan, and the dasturkhan is sunnah. Even if it is that very thin plastic which we use in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, but that also is a dasturkhan now. Even that, a micron, measured in microns. Very, very, very thin. But you are sitting below and that is so much higher than you. Also, we should try, and the best way is to sit how we sit in tashahud position. Then our toes won't touch the dasturkhan. Otherwise, if we sit crossed leg, if a person can't help it, it's a different thing, but as far as possible, if we sit crossed leg, our toes will also still touch the dasturkhan. All these things might seem very minute to us, unimportant. But it is the small things that add up and bring us to the other bigger things. So we should try. And after all, when we have come for Khanqah, we have come for Islah, we have come to change our lives. Our lives changing is not only ibadah. It's not only an outward front. It's not only our public life, but our private lives also. All these things we should try and bring with wisdom and with love. Bring it in the house also. Otherwise, once in fact, we were in Jamaat, and there was an Arab Jamaat that had come. And we went and visit khususi mulaqat by an alim's place, a very pious person, and may Allah grant him Jannah. He was a very, very jayyid hafiz, very good hafiz too. Anyway, but he had, when we entered the house, so they entered with their shoes also, and where the sitting place was, he asked them to take off their shoes. And his attitude by nature was a little bit of an abrupt one. He was just by nature like that. So they took offense, and they said that when you have got these couches here, you don't take off shoes there. If you are sitting down on the floor, so then, and unfortunately, an argument started there. And they said that sitting on the couches, etc., that is not Islamic, that is not Sunnah also. And he was an alim also, and they were in Jamaat, and Arabs, and Arabs who have got hamiyat of deen, feeling of deen, that is another subject on its own. It's if we have seen any Arabs, normally we see those that have a bit westernized. But if you see those Arabs that have got feeling of deen, once in South Africa, Jamaat came, and there was ginger beer on the table. Just the word beer, and he took those bottles and he threw them away. That how can you have beer on the table? That you are drinking beer, but it's not beer, we call it ginger beer. But this is how their feelings are. And really there are plenty young Arabs also, men and women, what feeling of deen they have got, we cannot imagine. So the dasturkhan, it was one sheet on which everything. So Hazrat told me, fix this up first. I can't sit and eat on the same level with the food. It must be a bit higher. So then Hazrat, we fixed it up, we put a sheet in the middle, same white sheet, but now it was a dasturkhan. And to sit was another white sheet, now it was a bit lower. Now there is a dasturkhan, that is what is sunnah. One time we were with Hazrat in reunion, and also one great alim, also has passed away, may Allah grant all Jannat, all our marhumin. He invited Hazrat with all Hazrat's friends. At that time, now mashallah, his family has got a nice, very nice big house. But at that time it was a small little house, and the front room was also small, and he invited quite a few people. So he had put blankets to sit on to make it comfortable. At many places also, and all this we should learn, when, especially when we are hosting jamaats at home, we are hosting akabir, buzurgs, then do it in the etiquette that suits them. And the truth and right thing is, all the time we should be doing. For us also, the sunnah should play a major role in our lives. But our sunnah is just restricted to a few things. So anyway, he had blankets, and then the dasturkhan in the middle. Blanket was higher, whether it is just a few millimeters, but it was higher than the dasturkhan. When Hazrat came and he saw this, immediately he said, I cannot sit higher than the food. So I was stupid enough, thinking it to be my goodness and kindness to Hazrat. I told Hazrat, now all have come, and usually also if we have taken notice, on a Friday you feel more hungry lunchtime than ordinary days. And Friday you look forward to that meal more than what you look forward to it on other days. So I said, all want to sit and eat. If we, afterwards you can explain, Maulana, and for the future. So Hazrat told me, I'll do what I want to do. You don't tell me what I must do. And in that, there was a lot more to learn. How a murid must be with his sheikh. Sometimes many murids, we want to become the sheikh. And we giving advice to the sheikh that what should be done and what should not be done. So Hazrat picked up the blanket and he sat on the hard floor. It was a wooden floor. And Hazrat by nature was very sensitive. But sunnah, he did not let you forego the sunnah. He sat on that hard floor and he ate. He did not sit on the blanket that was higher. So when we have a dasturkhan, then let the dasturkhan overlap onto the onto your blanket, so that the food is still higher than you. So with the etiquette of food, what we eat, that is really our subject. But since one brother brought this to my notice, that at the bottom, people are just walking carefreely. And also, I usually suggest, wherever there is a jalsa, a ijtima, a jor, and plenty people are going to be eating, then when you lay your dasturkhan, after about 20 people, more or less, leave a gap there. So if somebody wants to cross, he can cross there. Otherwise people are jumping over the dastarkhan. There is food also, and it's stretching from that end to this end. Now a person wants to go out, now he feels, I must walk right till the end. And many times also in our houses also, we lay the dastarkhan right till the wall. Now how much the people, you wash hands this side, the basin each, you come in from the door, and the dastarkhan is laid out from wall to wall. Now how do you cross over? So on the sides or in the middle, leave a gap also, so that people can cross over. One time, one postmaster was eating meals with Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. A morsel of food fell out from the plate, it fell on the side. So Hazrat told him, pick it up, if it is needs cleaning, clean it and eat it. So being a postmaster, he said, it's beyond me that what fell out of the plate, I must pick it up and eat it. And here also we can see that our mashayikh, how much we have to learn from them. Hazrat didn't give a fatwa of kufr to the person or some other that you're a very irreligious person, you're a bad person. Hazrat gave him an example. He said from the president's, his cabinet, if the minister of post and telegraph sends you a chocolate, and then when you get the chocolate, you will eat it with so much of relief and enjoyment that who sent it? The minister of post and telegraph, right from the cabinet of the prime minister, from there it has come. And you will even keep the wrapper of that. So much you will look at it, won't you? If the piece falls down, he said, I'll definitely pick it up. So he said, this is not from the minister of post and telegraph. This food has come from Allah Ta'ala. And musawwamatan, it's got your name written on it. And Allah decreed it for you at this particular time. What has come from Allah is a gift. How much shouldn't we appreciate it? But today generally, I don't know what's the situation at the bottom, but I complain about restaurants, about food in the aeroplanes, about food at gatherings, whether it's walimas, weddings, social gatherings. One friend of ours, a family member as well, we had a filling station where there were many of these food outlets. He said, we complain of other countries how dirty they are. They say, he told me, just come and have a look here. And you'll see that how dirty we are. That a person buys some food, eats a little and just throws it like that. Not even the dustbin is right there. To throw food in the dustbin, how terrible is that? But just throwing it anywhere and everywhere. It's unbelievable. Like that we like to count ourselves amongst those people who got good habits, our character is good, etc. And we all think we got good character. But on such occasions, it shows what we are. The food in the plates that is left over. How much of food is left over? So all this, we should be very eating methods also. And the one kitab which is available, Kitabu Ta'am, on food, on the various aspects, this has been discussed in detail in there. If any person wishes to, you can go on the website or you can get a copy also. MashaAllah, our brother Yusuf Desai is here. He has done a lot in the printing of the kitabs. Initially, our brother Rashid had transcribed many kitabs, and now they are done in a better, printed in a better form in Pakistan. So try and get these kitabs also and try and study them. We will see how deficient we are still in the basic matters of our deen. On one occasion, we were traveling from Maputo, we were going to in Mozambique, from Maputo to Shimoyu is one town. And it has so happened that the road was under construction. And most of the time we were driving off the road. And we reached there, we left after Juma, Maputo, Beira. And we reached there to Shimoyu just when Azan also was just finished. Just enough time to go to toilet, make wuzu, and we came in the masjid and takbir started, namaz started. So I told him, I'm not at all in a position to make bayan. But they say, we have made the announcement, all have come, you'll have to make bayan. So I said, okay, we'll just make some muzakara about food. So we just spoke about eating adab, etiquettes of eating. Mani Musa, I think we have that also now in there. We'll revise it now in there. Sleeping also, how we do. So I just revised a few. There was a Jamaat from Bombay. They were so happy and they appreciated it so much. They said, never in our lives were we ever informed about these things. We never knew all these etiquettes. And really, if just our eating comes right, our drinking of water comes right, it will be da'wat not only for Muslims. There were some friends of ours when they graduated and they had a meal at their family's place in Lanesia. The du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught after meals, they gave those du'as. Those people who were quite like modern type people, but they said, we never knew that there is so much of appreciation in Islam. Because many times we go, we eat at somebody's place, not even one jazakallah. In fact, for our own wife, she cooks for us day in and day out. Just think, when did we ever tell her jazakallah? Then when did we ever appreciate? Yes, to find fault, that is very common with us. We will find fault quite commonly. But to show appreciation, and Allah loves a person who appreciates. And لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم. But this complaining all the time, this Allah Ta'ala does not like. Yeah, for example, we are here, and the brothers who are giving us sehri, if we just have to think a little bit, to have that sehri ready on time, what time they have to get up. And these are brothers who go back to shop again on time. All these things they do, each one of us asks, did we ever go up to them and tell them jazakallah? Hey, iftari time now, the food will be ready inshallah. Maulana Ahmed Khan Puri said a very beautiful point. He is speaking to the students. He said, it's possible that your principal here in the madrasa, he goes home. Now it was just before about 11, before Zohar, that his wife tells him, the food is still not ready. Just give me another 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But that is possible. But he said, it's impossible that the students, you go to the mess, and the cook says, today the food is still not ready. Another 10 minutes. 100% that food is ready for you. But, and if perchance it has to be late one day, what a big noise won't we make. But every day, and Allah is seeing, just that example I gave, that one grain of rice, and Allah is not seeing it to eat on the spur. For how long before that this truck must be made, that road must be built, this must be done, so that this grain of rice reaches this banda of mine at this place on this time. How lot arrangements Allah Ta'ala makes. So, but we don't show any appreciation. And I won't go into the details now. Mani Musa. I won't go into details now. We did discuss it. But for every grain, what and what arrangements Allah makes, how long before, so that we can have it. Now we're all going to have our, we're just going to open our roza, zamzam and khajur. But this also, how long before? And we have made arrangements some time before. Usually our friends, long before. And there are some of our friends who fight with us, literally. They said, we said, next year we giving the khajur. I say, already others have paid already, what can we do? Others said, then they insist also. But this is our system. Allah's system is long, long, long before that. When the tree was planted, that on that occasion, when this khajur will grow, they will go to South Africa, they will go to Azadville, this person will come from this part of the world to make iftari here, his khajur has to be there. And the details of it, nobody can exhaust. So may Allah Ta'ala, yes, two things I mentioned. If we can bring these two things which are easy, Allah will make us heal and bring all the other qualities. One is shukr and one is humility, humbleness. And both of them are realities. We got no muffer. We got no chance to escape it. We have to. And of course istighfar also. We have to be engaged in this. It's only logical. It's only natural. And when we will do that, Allah will draw us towards Him. And all the other great qualities of being a wali of Allah, Allah will create those qualities. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Let us eat the right food. Let us eat it in the right way. And then use it to amal-i-saliha. For good deeds. May Allah give us tawfiq. وآخر الأولى